much for coming out here on a rare sunny Saturday. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to turn the panel over to our moderator, Charlie Fenna.
Well, welcome everybody. So we're here today to talk about green jobs. And
what did it say? Opportunity without opportunism?
That's going to be interesting. So there are few enough of us here that we could get a sense of who all is in the room. So maybe you just say your name and just where you work, where you come from.
Esther?
Esther Handy, I work for the City Council of
Michael Brandt. Craig Benson, I work for the Obama Department Coalition. Big Burke, I'm the fellow neighborhood. My process is establishing a small, high symbol coffee shop. Kind of already developed. Founder of MLK.
Great, good.
Patricia Pastel, I've lived for 30 years in the walking district of the White House.
Jim Mueller, I'm in the real estate business, and I have a property in the city and trying to learn to do the right thing.
Introductions?
Yeah.
My name is Elena Dixon with an organization called Puget Sound, CHSA. We have we're on a green jobs, creating pathways out of poverty coalition, including an organization called Got Green from 9818, who I don't think is here today, but they're working on training folks from the neighborhood and get them plugged into career pathways.
Is that Martin Williams?
Yes.
Yeah. Sue Gibbs, 30-year resident of Columbia City neighborhood, working on that urban farm project in Rainier Beach. And green jobs don't have to do with just energy, they can also do producing food.
There you go.
I'm actually just an engineer at Microsoft.
I'm July Dukars. I'm the sustainability coordinator at the Mini Neighborhood Association, and I'm also working with City
Leaders. Great. Lee Stanton. I'm a 24-year resident of Mount Baker. We're also doing this in our neighborhood. I chair the Mount Baker Community Club. And in my punitive day job, I'm a architect. That's been my real time.
I'm Ken Gilman with the Near Beach Community Common Coalition.
Eric Hoffman with the Housing Development Consortium of Santa Cruz County. And also working with Sue on the MCD report.
Keith
Timko
with Capital Housing.
Paul Cole of the neighbor, Summer Boy.
I'm Lynn Hunter. I live in the Hillman City neighborhood, but during the day I work for an organization called Philanthropy Northwest, but I'm here unofficially, just as a citizen.
No money for
that? No. Diane Vincent, West Seattle, very involved in everything in the community, aspiring urban designer.
Richard Gell, King County.
Susan Davis, resident of Mount Baker, and I work in Hillman City at the Mayor Chamber of Commerce.
I'm Diana Burgess
again.
I'm
also with King County, and I live
in Maine. Just by way of reference, say who you are, and I'll introduce you.
Oh, Roger Valdez.
Joshua Kurtz.
Stacia Jenkins.
So does anybody here not have a green job? Well, all your jobs green. Whose jobs are would you say are not green jobs? So most of us already have jobs that somehow we define as green. So that's interesting. It was one of the things I was thinking about last night. You know, I oftentimes tell people that I consider myself one of the luckiest people in Seattle because I came out here in 1979 wanting to get involved in the alternative energy industry, and the first person I met owned his own solar energy companies, Lensing Solar Energy Company. The first job I had in Seattle was installing solar panels on the roof of Camp Don Bosco out in Carnation, Washington. And literally, I did in Seattle for 3 days, and I was on the roof putting in solar panels. So that was a long time ago, and I've had a number of things since then, working in energy and working in nonprofit, and now I'm fortunate enough to work in the government arena. I was hired to run a program called the Seattle Climate Partnership at the Office of Sustainability, where I was the business guy on the green team, and then I got traded to the Office of Economic Development, where I'm now the green guy on the business team. And it's an interesting place to be to try to think about what is the future of green tech, what's the future of clean tech in the city of Seattle, in our area, and what's the role of government in trying to help the development of those jobs in particular, and the economy in general. And can we infuse our green ideas into all the jobs that we have? You know, is that really where we want to go? So we don't really think of something as a green job, that they're all green jobs, as it were. But a lot of what we're talking about here is what's the role to help in the development? Is there something that we can do to help get more green building jobs and green jobs out there in general? So I've got a great panel here today of people that have been quite involved over the years. Joshua Curtis is going to start, right? Is that what we're going to do? So Joshua Curtis is actually one of my colleagues at the City of Seattle. He didn't precisely take my place, but he sort of took my figurative place. As I left the Office of Economic Development, as I left the Office of Sustainability and Environment, he slipped in right behind me, as it were. So he's there now. So he works at the City of Seattle. He manages the Community Power Works program. It's a $20 million energy efficiency federal grant program. And prior to this, he was magically the executive director of Great City. So it's the perfect confluence. So Joshua is going to talk a little bit about demand generation. How do we generate demand for green jobs, and particularly through the Community Power Works program and in general?
Thank you. So thanks for letting me share some of my thoughts with you all today on the program that I'm working on, which, as Charlie mentioned, is Community Power Works. It is a $20 million federal grant. If some of you may recall the ARRA Act that I think was passed a few years ago by President Obama, has made its way into a number of different sectors, one of them being energy efficiency. Seattle was one of 25 different cities across the nation that were awarded between $5 million and $50 million. We received $20 million, and we've leveraged that into about $100 million of energy efficiency retrofits. Who here knows what energy efficiency is? It's fairly, everybody knows what that is, right? It's insulation, it's caulking, it's ductless heat vents, it's heat pumps. It's a number of different things, but really what it is it's a lot of different things, right? Everybody sees the pathway into energy efficiency through different lenses, and so today what we'll talk about a little bit, at least from my perspective, is the job creation component, but specifically how that relates to, or how driving demand for energy efficiency relates to actual job development. And then Roger will talk a little bit about the actual payment for it. I'll talk about that a little bit. And then Stacia, who I get to work with a lot, will talk about how you get people ready to take those jobs. So just quickly, Community Power Works, we actually have six different building sectors that we work in. Single family, which is about half of our grant, and definitely the most, seen here within the community. We have large commercial downtown. We've got small commercial also in the community. We've got hospitals, so four hospitals, Harborview being one of them. And then we're working also on our municipal buildings. Our target area is we're actually in the middle of it. It starts in about middle Seattle, goes up through Capitol Hill. You know where Group Health is. It kind of goes up around there and then basically goes to Lake Washington, over to basically the other side of I-5, and go all the way north, or all the way south. So this is definitely the community that we're working in. I think I'll probably focus mainly on single family, what we're doing there. I can tell you a little bit about our process and some of the things that we've come up with. We're actually launching our single family program in April, this month, April 19th, so just a few days away. And hopefully you'll be hearing a lot more about it. I hope that all of you who live in the area are going to take advantage of an energy efficiency upgrade, and if you'd like to hear more about that after I talk a little bit, I'm more than happy to talk to you about it afterwards, because the more retrofit or the more upgrades that happen, the more jobs that are created. And so let me talk to you a little bit about how this program was set up and sort of how we're rolling it out and how we hope this will lead to a lot of jobs here in Seattle and specifically here in the community. We received, before the $20 million grant, we received a $6 million grant as part of what was called a formula grant. Every city got a sort of relational to how many representatives we had in Congress, and so we got a certain amount of money. We got $6.1 million, something like that. So we did a bunch of free audits, or free pre-assessments. I have to change my language now, because apparently the word audit makes you think of the IRS, which is not something you necessarily want to invite people in your home to do. So it's we're now calling them energy assessments, which I think is probably better. And so we've got about 900 different energy assessments that we've actually done. They're called an environmental energy performance score. So we've got that system kind of rolling out. At the same time, once we heard that we've been approved for a $20 million grant, we started thinking, okay, so we've got all these assessments that are going out there, but there's not really a lot of follow-up, right? Seattle City Light has some great rebates that you can get, but there's not really a program that takes somebody through getting an energy assessment, and actually even before that, realizing they have an issue, because most people don't even realize that their homes are leaking energy right and left. And so once you start, you know, kind of establish that there's an issue there and that there's an opportunity to save money, then you get this energy assessment. And then that was basically it. So now we start thinking, okay, well, how do we actually get people to go from the assessment to actually getting an upgrade? And who's going to do that upgrade? And is there an opportunity here to take this idea of green jobs and everything Van Jones was doing nationally at the time and all the money that the Obama administration had put into Department of Labor and training and hey, here's an opportunity to actually match people who've trained with actual jobs. And so that's where actually Stacia comes in. And Stacia, I think you'll probably say a bit more about the actual process, but one of the things that I think Seattle has done really well, and I've had the opportunity to go to a few conferences nationally and sort of hear from other cities and what they've done, is we've been very aggressive in making sure that these jobs go to the people who need the most. And so Stacia got involved along with a number of other community peers. Somebody mentioned Michael Wu. Michael Wu is part of this. He's a strong partner for us in what we're calling the High Road Community Workforce Agreement. Community High Road Workforce Agreement.
I think it's a high road agreement for residential.
Right. Yeah. So obviously I don't have to say this, but
two different agreements. Yeah. They do the same thing.
So there's, for the large commercial sector, we have a community workforce agreement, which is like a project labor agreement with some community hiring standards that are put in there. And then the high road agreement, which is for the single family. So I'll let Stacia say a little bit more about that. You know, so we set these up, these very ambitious goals, and now we're in the process of saying, okay, now that we have sort of these standards of who we want to be hiring and how we train them and how we support them, how do we now take this program and bring it to a community and let people know that it's there, and not only is it there, but hey, it actually saves you money. It makes you a lot more comfortable, and obviously saves energy, and there's carbon benefits that we have to that. But we're not leading out with the energy we're not leading with the environmental argument, because we don't need to. There's so many other reasons why this is a good idea. And of course it's a good thing environmentally, but I think that's one of the keys to, as I've been hearing other cities roll this out, is you want to be talking about this as an actual quality of life and comfort and affordability. And so we're about to roll this out. We're trying to do 2,000 retrofits here in basically this area, Central District all the way down to Rainier Beach. We've got some local partners, Working Green and Ecos, are helping us with the outreach. We've got about 13 different contractors. They've all been they've been accepted into the High Road contractor pool. So people now, once we launch, will have the opportunity to go through this process and hire contractors that have been vetted and approved by us. And the idea is that that then will create jobs. And I think we'll talk more about demand generation going forward, but I just want to give you an overview of where we are. This is a 3-year grant period. It started June of last year, and it'll go through June of 2013. We've got some other building centers that we're working with as well, but that's what we're trying to do right now.
So this is a pretty adventurous program. When I used to run a nonprofit, when we'd have our meetings, we'd come up with new ideas, and we'd say, well, it's just, we have another grand experiment in front of us. And it is a grand experiment, but there's a lot behind it. There's a lot of people that are working on this, and we're banking on this being successful. So those of you that live in the neighborhood, we're hoping that you take advantage of it. And we're hoping that we get deep acceptance by this program, and that when we come and do the work at your home, you tell your neighbors, and then it rolls out. And so that in 3 years from now, the project doesn't end, too, because everybody is going to need to be continually employed after that. So how do we keep it rolling? How do we keep it going after that? I think it's also going to be one of our big challenges.
But hopefully we get a chance to talk about that, because there's a lot of money right now in the energy efficiency sector. And if you've been tracking congressional conversations about the budget, it probably won't be there in a few years. So that's long-term sustainability is huge.
As you know, as our guest said this morning, you operate your programs in the time where you are. You don't operate them in the past or in the future. And so we are in the exact time where we are, and we have this opportunity literally now, and the opportunity may not be here in 2 years. So really it is, those of us and those of you that are involved in the communities that are down here, it is pretty important to take as much advantage of this program as we can in the time where we are, because who knows? We may have even better programs 2 or 3 years from now, but we may not. So we want to try to make it work. So, we can mix it up. Yeah, sure. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We can mix it up. It's not very formal.
Right.
Okay. Two quick questions. One is, I know the multifamily or commercial side of the apartment is making wage rates.
Yeah.
It's not actually. Davis Bacon is, through some weird things that happen at Davis Bacon, it actually ends up not applying to single family. But that being said, with the High Road agreement, we do have wage standards that are built into there.
So that you're qualified contractors that are coming through that program,
right?
Yeah, right.
Doing
minimum wage standards
and so fair wage. Bacon, or
if you translate what that means for those of us who
don't
know.
Sure, sorry.
Yeah.
I can
touch on that.
Yeah.
And then my other question is, if somebody's interested, where do they get pointed?
So
that's a perfectly good interpretation.
Yeah.
Pointed on the retrofit, on the home retrofit.
Right, so there's two other people that have questions, but just quickly to that, so there's three qualified training providers that we're working with. One is Got Green. One is Seattle.
How do you get a retrofit or how do you get a job?
I'm sorry, I thought you said how
do
you get a job.
Oh, no. It was really more of an outreach question. What is the city doing in order to spread the word about this program?
Oh, about the program, yeah. So we're about to launch, as I mentioned, and we have a marketing firm that we're about to hire. We've got community outreach that'll be on the ground. So they're going to be tailing, they're going to be doing house parties, focusing a lot on peer-to-peer, so reaching out to community leaders and then having them hopefully go through a retro for an energy upgrade, and then helping having them help us reach out to the different communities. So we're really focused on a grassroots approach.
Thank you.
Yeah.
building all these different marketing efforts before the launch. We don't want to get too much demand before the launch because,
so I think there's...
Last year I read an article in Real Change that AmeriCorps was putting people out for free doing the work, so all the people who had gone through the training and promised 16 to 20 hours, dollars an hour to do this work weren't getting jobs because AmeriCorps was doing it for free. And then I also wonder if the 40% or however, maybe more of us that live in apartments, do we have access to that?
So for the last question, we do have a multifamily component of what we're doing. There will be a program. It hasn't been designed because we've been focusing a lot on the single family.
Okay.
Probably within the next 2 to 3 months, we'll be coming out with that. We do have one partner, enterprise community partners, that's been working on some lower income properties and providing loans to them. They'll be providing loans for about, probably about 10 buildings in the area.
So if I live in a just market rate building,
as of right now, there's nothing, but we're hoping that we will have something to offer. Yes.
Okay.
So,
what are your projections for the jobs at this point?
So the estimate for the single family realm is 600 jobs, and then for the entire program is up to 2,000.
And do you work at all with Stacy from
Moontown?
Was that, he has a program?
Stacy Nolan.
Yeah.
We've met with him. He's not an official partner, but he's very aware of what we're doing. We're very aware of what he's doing. I think a lot of what he's doing right now is outside of Seattle. I think he's working with him in the other places. But we definitely know him. Yeah.
Somebody else was asking, what's this about vacant?
It's a devastating act. Sets a federal standard for wage requirements on projects that are funded partially or in whole by public dollars.
Can you speak a little louder?
Well, I
just
we
got
to
traffic
that in context. Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Did you hear something?
I have just a real quick question about how do you get the retrofits and where do we go for that?
Right.
And then the second question was, I was curious about your plans about reaching out to communities of color, especially in the area, folks who don't have computers and register how.
Sure. So, first question, you can go to communityempowerworks.org. We have a website that's there right now. Once we launch, we'll actually have a whole IT platform that'll take you through the whole process. And so one thing that I didn't mention is you do have different options. If you have a computer and hear about the program, you can go to the website, and it walks you through an online loan process. You can find contractors, you can find energy assessment experts who can come out and actually do the energy performance work for you. We also have another option where you can just say, okay, I don't really need to find a contractor, I just want to have it done. So you have what's called an energy concierge who can actually walk you through the whole process. And then in terms of reaching out to communities of color, so we're working with Working Green and with ECOS. There will be a lot of outreach there. I think they've already started reaching out to some of the local community organizations. And so if you know ECOS, they have a lot of folks on board. I don't know how many different languages are spoken, but a lot.
Yeah.
So we're very conscious about that.
Okay, thank you.
What's that website again?
Communitypowerworks.org.
Powers,
Powerworks,
yeah.
Okay, so my friend Stacia here is the program coordinator for Emerald City Seattle. It's a collaborative of business, labor, community, and civic organizations and the City of Seattle working together to promote energy efficiency retrofits on existing buildings while ensuring high quality and equitably accessible jobs are created in the new industry. So Stacia's been working in and around the building trades for many years. So she's going to talk a little bit about how do we get the trained workforce, and how are we developing these jobs, and how do we get the word out?
So the nice thing about energy efficiency retrofits on buildings, the goal being to reduce energy usage in the built environment and to reduce carbon through that energy use, is that it's hands-on physical work, and those jobs cannot be outsourced. So it is being looked at as a whole economic sector development, that we are creating an entire new economic sector of jobs that are going to stay in the U.S. And how do we do this in a way to make sure that those jobs are high quality, that we're creating jobs that support communities, that support families, that build our economy in a way in the opposite direction that it's been going for the last few years. So, and how do we build the value back into the work that that tradespeople do, and through the wages that they're paid, and also just through the honor and respect that is paid for these jobs that have been really marginalized over the last 40 years. I mean, there's so little work, vocational training and construction and manufacturing trades training that's done in public schools anymore. Preparation for those types of jobs, we've really gotten away from honoring that type of work in this country, and now all of a sudden our country needs fixing. We're trying to get to energy independence and get our buildings to reduce energy waste. I don't even know. I like to say reducing energy waste, because that's what we have right now. It's just significant amounts of energy just leaking out of all of our buildings. So with almost half of our country's energy being used through the construction and operation of buildings, and most of that, 70% or so of that, in urban areas, Emerald Cities Collaborative was formed to address that specifically. So 10 cities, I know here we are very familiar with the term Emerald City, so of the 10, I have the biggest marketing challenge, but there are now 10 Emerald Cities, actually. Emerald Cities: Cleveland, Atlanta, Providence, New York, Milwaukee, Portland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland, and Seattle. So I'm just the only one that when you Google it comes up with a tattoo parlor. So, among other things. So Emerald Cities Collaborative is based out of D.C., and as I said, there are 10 cities piloting this project around the country, and in every city and at the national level. It's a collaboration of civic organizations. Here, the Mayor's Office, the Office of Sustainability and Environment, Workforce Development Council, Seattle Jobs Initiatives, city-based programs. Businesses, we have McKinstry and McDonald Miller and Sustainable Works as partners, all being contractors in the energy efficiency area, and EcoFab also. And labor, the building trades are a partner in each of the cities and at the national level, representing the workers in all of the construction trades that do work on buildings. Pre-apprenticeship programs and community-based training organizations like Green, and Youth-Filled, locally SVI, Seattle Vocational Institute's pre-apprenticeship construction training program is a partner, and social justice organizations like Puget Sound Sage is also a partner. The Seattle Foundation is significantly funding our local collaborative primarily just for community engagement. They are actually just funding that portion of it to make sure that the workforce development and the retrofits are being, they're equitably accessible. So we're making sure that the jobs created